Tyler, I'm not sure if I should put a disclaimer on this show or not. Tonight I want to change your way of looking at things, but I want to describe the kind of a revelation that I've had in the last couple of days reading this material and preparing for tonight's program. I recognized something from past lives, even possibly wisdom that I've carried with me for eternity, if that's possible. But I suddenly realized in the last few days the existence of spiritual self in a way I never understood before. I was always so contained in the third dimension, this base element that we exist in. And as I started to reread The Toltec Path by Ken Eaglesfeather, which delves with the whole Toltec mystery involving Don Juan and Castaneda, and the walk is so similar in so many ways I'm beginning to understand the crossovers. I'm beginning to understand the different philosophies and thinkers who, in their own individuality, understanding, if you will, of reaching a fourth dimensional state of existence. And this is the new book that I'm beginning to write. George and I just completed chapter one yesterday, and this is George Dixon and I, and we've been talking quite seriously about the quantum physics and the quantum jump and the way that we're made, and there's so many between the scientific aspect of it, the geometrical aspect of it, and understanding the metaphysical aspect of it. I've suddenly come to a revelation to some extent that we are a spiritual being, and that the third dimensional existence is merely a cage. It's an illusion. It's a mirror. It's false. And I know that's hard to understand right now, since we are all in third dimensional existence here. But if you could for 1 minute break away from that thought train and imagine yourself no longer held back by the third dimensional restraints that you exist in. You know, the need for physical touch, smell, taste, you know, feeling, you know, and just break away from that sensory imprisonment that we have. Then what we can experience is something far, far beyond that, where we experience the universe, we experience eternity, we experience the concepts of infinity. And once we do that, once we set our perspective in a different means, a different way, and change our focus, then we become free beings. We become free. We become free of our physical bonds. We can float. We can fly. We can see. We can hear. We can become all in all in the same in one. And as we merge closer and closer and closer to the oneness of being, and you know, where we return to the great one, the great creator, the great concept, the great love, the great joy, the great peace that we were created from, and all develop these incredible journeys into the third dimensional and fourth dimensional and fifth dimensional levels. We ascended and descended down the up and down the ladder to learn something to become more embedded in committed to the acceleration of life, you know, to the ascension of mankind. And I believe that we all do that. I believe in our own way, deep down, unless we're completely cold and devoid of love, which is possible. You know. But we have to change those concepts. We have to change that in our mind. We have to take on a different perspective to break away from these chains that have bonded us for so many years. You know, the addictions and the obsessions and the needs and desires, those things. And coming out of the Toltec path, if you will, and last week I spoke about the circles. I read the circles, Emerson's circles, and perhaps I'm working on this as a crossover reference to the same context, the same concepts, in essence, of the Toltec, as well as the Buddhist, as well as the Christian, as well as the, you know, all of the religions, and, you know, putting them into perspective and realizing that they aren't the dogma. It's not dogma that we're after. It's clarity. It's vision. It's future vision. The prophets are those not so much that literally see the future, but they see a reality and they press that reality and they hope for that reality and they see the dream and the vision that we all should strive for. And there's something here. The same law of eternal possession ranges all that we call the virtues and extinguishes each in the light of the better. A great man will not be prudent to the popular sense. All his prudence will be so much destruction from his grandeur. But it behooves each of thee, when he sacrifices prudence, to what God he devotes it. If to ease the pleasure, he had better be prudent still. If to a great trust, he can well spare his mule and panniers, who are a winged chariot instead. And Geoffrey draws on his boots to go through the woods, and his feet may be safer from the bite of the snakes. And Aaron never thinks of such a peril, and many years neither is harmed by such an accident. Yet it seems to me that with every precaution you take against such an evil, you put yourself into the power of the evil. I suppose that the highest prudence is the lowest prudence. Is this too sudden a rushing from the center to the verge of our orbit? Think how many times we shall fall back into the pitiful calculations before we take up our rest in the great sentiment, or make the verge of today the new center. Besides, your bravest sentiment is familiar with the humblest men, and the poor and the low have their way of expressing the last facts of philosophy as well as you. Blessed be nothing, and the worse things are, the better they are proverbs which express the transcendentalism of common life. One man's justice is another's injustice. One man's beauty, another ugliness. One man's wisdom, another's folly. As one beholds the same objects from a higher point, one man thinks justice consists in paying debts and has no measure in his abhorrence to another who is very remiss in his duty and makes the creditor wait tediously. But that second man has his own way of looking at things, asks himself, which debt must I pay first, and the debt to the rich or the debt to the poor, the debt of the money or the debt of the thought to the mankind, of genius to nature. For you, O brother, O broker rather, there is no other principle but arithmetic. For me, commerce is of trivial import. Love, faith, truth of character, the aspiration of man, these are sacred, nor can I detach one duty like you from all other duties and concentrate my forces mechanically on the payment of monies. Let me live onward. You shall find that though slower, This progress of my character will liquidate all these debts without injustice to higher claims. And if a man should dedicate himself to the payment of notes, would not this be injustice? Does he owe no debt but money? And are all claims on him to be postponed to a landlord's or a banker's? There is no virtue which is final. All are initial. The virtues of society are vices and the saint. The terror of reform is the discovery that we must cast away our virtues, or what we have already esteemed such, into the same pit that has consumed our grosser vices. Forgive his crimes, forgive his virtues too, those smaller faults, half converts to the right. And it is the highest power of divine moments that they abolish all contritions also. I accuse myself of sloth and unprofitable day by day. But when these waves of God flow through me, I no longer reckon lost time. I no longer poorly compute my possible achievement by what remains to me a month or a year, or these moments confer a sort of omnipresence and omnipotence, which asks nothing of duration, but sees that the energy of the mind is commensurate with the work to be done without time. And thus, O circular philosopher, I hear some reader exclaim, you have arrived at a fine paraphonism, at an equivalence and indifferency of actions, and would fain teach us that if we are true, forsooth our crimes may be lively stones out of which we shall construct the temple of the true God. But lest I should mislead any, when I have my own head and obey my whims, let me remind the reader that I am only an experimenter. Do not set the least value on what I do, or the least discredit on what I do not, as I pretended to settle anything as true and false. I unsettle all things. No facts are to me sacred. None are profane. I simply experiment, an endless seeker with no past at my back. And that's from the that's a quote from the Circles. I thought it was interesting to read that line, because this is where we have to go in order to get to this highest level, okay, in order to find that portal that leads us to fourth dimensional existence. And that fourth dimension that I'm speaking of is one that's above the third dimension that we exist in now. And it's our evolutionary process. It's the time. It's the place. It's where we are, okay, that dictates this period of time of us to enter, that we're entering, which is the time that's been prophesied that man will achieve at one moment. And everything he knows will fall apart. Everything he knows will be of no value, because he's enlightened to the next level, right? I say give everything to the banks, give everything to the government, give everything, who the hell cares? Give it all, because it's worthless. What is real, what is really real, is what you hold in your mind. What you forget becomes nothing. It dissolves. So if you can achieve some great vision of yourself, or great vision of society, or great vision of the world or the universe as a place where everyone loves each other and protects each other and looks out for each other and has wonderful feelings for each other and love exists, permeates society, then this is nirvana, this is heaven. Because at that point, everybody has plenty. Everybody wants for nothing, and there is no end to the bounty of the earth or the universe or God's love. At that point, I'm going to segue into a couple of notes that I took today from the Toltec Path. Now I'm going to read some aspects of some selections of the Toltec Path to try to tie this thought process together. And the word, perhaps the most significant concept that I came through in this part of the book, and I've read this book twice already, but I keep going back to it. It's refreshing and new all the time. Perception is an alignment of energies. Okay. Now, what we perceive to be the truth, what we understand as the truth, is not necessarily the same for all of us. It depends on our perception, depends on how we're looking at things. I mean, a military man would not have the same perspective that I do as a man of as a man who hasn't served in the universe as a man of, who proposes peace, you know, but to a perspective of a man who proposes war, it's quite different. It's a very different perspective. We try each other. We are constant adversaries. Okay. The other thing that the other perspective that you have to concentrate on is, where are you in your life? Like a man of 30 is not does not have the same perspective as a man of 50 or a man of 80 or a man of 60. Or a man of, you know, even a 31-year-old has a different perspective than a 30-year-old. Some are more in insecure, some are more infantile, some are more irresponsible, some are, but you know, it's the perspective on life that allows you to achieve your goals, okay? Allows you to formulate your concepts and then apply your will to that factor and create your world. And these are the elements of creation. These are the elements of co-creation. And I say co-creation in the sense that God creates us. Some divine intelligence has created us. There can be no question about that. But at the same time, that divine intelligence has given us the ability to create for ourselves and to eventually come to the understanding that He shares all that He is, right, with us. All right, so that we understand the concept of the Creator, we understand the concepts of the universe, we understand the unlimited and infinite numbers of people, realities, universes, whatever. There is no limit to anything. Okay, only man puts limits to himself. Right. Only man, through his own fears, through his own ignorance, creates those blockages, okay? But if he destroys all of this, if he's beyond that, if he says, I don't know, why should I fear anything, right? Then he ventures into that third portal, which brings him to the third cycle of the Toltec Path, which talks about the unknown, okay? There are three cycles. One is the known, the physical self. The other is the spiritual self, which is the second self, which is the second cycle. And then most people float between the two concepts. That's where mankind remains. But it's he who jumps through the hoop, who identifies the portal of the third cycle, okay, through the Toltec Path, if you will, or others, but the Toltec Path tonight is the one I've studied the most, but Emerson's circles reached it as well in his concept. But his was outright defiance of conformity, whereas this is true genius. But at the same time, the Toltec Path is a regimented understanding of how. It's not a religion. It doesn't make anything sacred. What it is the concept of understanding that we are human. And being human first, okay, we then, and respect that human form, respect who we are, then we go on to the spiritual realm, because the spirit and the body work together to create this conduit, okay, to, again, to allow us to evolve into the third cycle, which is the third element, which is the third aspect of man, which is the unknown. We go from the known to the spiritual realm, to the known, and then right through to the unknown. That is where everything goes. You know, that's when we export ourselves to the outer limits, to the universe. Okay? We are no longer restricted to the third dimensional existence. We can rise above that. It's called quantum jumping. We actually have that concept in our vernacular now. Quantum jumping. How we can jump from one reality to another reality. And those realities change our lives. And at the same time, they're mirrored through our lives. They're just other aspects of us. Okay? Each one of us, we're like petals on a rose or petals on a sunflower. You know, they just have many, many. They come. It's derived from the center, that center being a human creation. Right? But what we can do, we have to understand that we have our physical limitations. But once we understand the spiritual element and understand the creative element, the co-creative element that we have as we exist, that we create our own realities, once that's revealed to us, then we can move on. And we can constantly create our new reality. Constantly. We do that all the time. We change houses. We change jobs. We change wives or husbands. We change underwear. We change our clothes. We change based upon our emotions and based upon our moods, okay? And based upon the cultural restrictions that surround us that we don't necessarily have to abide by, you know? They're guidelines, if anything. So are laws. Laws are guidelines. But we have to understand that. Like, if you look at the Ten Commandments, Ten Commandments was a guide stone. It was a guide for us, saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. These things all create negative karma, negative energies. If you promote the positive aspects of that law and prevent yourself from fucking failing, prevent yourself from evil, all right, influences, then all will be good. So that bringing us that concept of good and evil, that there are those that will embrace the evil, just as there are those that will embrace the good. But this is the freedom of choice that God, our Creator, gives us. We can either be this or we can be that. On one hand, though I've embraced the evil, dark of everything, I found it so empty. You know, and so bottomless that there's nothing there, and it just leads your life into abandonment and lechery and treachery and everything. You know, it's just a horrible existence to go that way. But there are those who live in it and dwell in it and slime in it and love it. God bless them, and that's where they are. Me personally, I prefer a life of cleanliness, of abandonment. I mean, not in the sense of sexual abandonment or whatever, but I'm talking about abandonment in the sense of sending my soul out, continually trying to out or overstretch my boundaries, you know, to the unknown, seeking knowledge, seeking wisdom, seeking the truth, you know, for what it may be, and being able to take the brunt of that truth, even if it means looking at myself in a deeper way and seeing my faults and seeing my weaknesses, right? But at the same time, or my own ignorance, but at the same time, what happens is it awakens me, okay? And it allows me to as long as I remain humble and as long as I remain open to that message, then I can see and read and be fulfilled in all these ways that I wasn't able to before, with money or with power or with sex or with drugs or with drinking or with, you know, whatever the physical obsession may be. I'm able to overcome that. I mean, I can say I still have many physical ailments. I'm physically tied. But at the same time, we have to adjust our mindset, because we have to say, well, you know, you're getting older, son. You know, things aren't quite, you don't have the energy. You don't have the lifespan that you had when you were 10, right? So when you reach your 50s, like I'm in, then you have to say, well, you know, how much longer do I have? And my friends, I've had friends that have died in their 50s. I've had friends that are, in difficult physical states as they get older. And, of course, people in their 80s and 90s, if they reach that long, you know, many of them are in very, very serious medical care. So I want to, if I only say, Jesus, I've only got like 20 or 10 years, the best 20 years or something left, you know, whatever, then I'm worried, I'm constantly worried. But when I say I have eternity left, then the pressure's off. And you say, okay, I've got eternity. So if I make a mistake today, I can change it tomorrow, you know, or I can change it in the next minute or the next hour. If I make a mistake, I'm not going to, you know, bury myself in shame. I mean, I'm a human. And that, we go back, that human aspect is what the Toltec path states, is that their primary vision, their goal, their embedded thought processes, their primary thought is that they are human. So they are rooted in that human existence, okay? And it becomes a second nature. So that way, understanding that and respecting the human element, then what you can do is you develop your dream state, okay? Because 8 hours a night, we are dreaming. Most 8 hours a night, we are in a fourth dimensional dream state. We do not exist any longer in the physical plane, not in our bodies. Some say that there have been reports that what that is, it's like computers connecting to the internet, you know, or something. Your computer is connecting to a power source, right, to regenerate our batteries for the day. So, but we actually connect for 8 hours a day to the Akashic Records, putting all that we are into that universal record. So, and then the next day when we wake up, we create more thoughts and we create more energy and we create more activity and actions and so on and so forth, which in the evening again when we sleep is absorbed and goes into the Akashic Record, which allows our meager minds to contain more and then accept more and contain and export and import and export and import and export and more thought processes. And the key, which I believe, okay, is that the ability to create to find the ability to share these thought processes, and to expand the concepts if you can, or at least delineate them or define them, okay, so that others can understand and pick up that same thought process and say, wait, he's onto something here. Let me do my research. Let me do some thinking here. So, what I task you as my audience to do is not take my word for anything, but to research what I say if you can, if you have the time, or at least to deliberate it in your own mind and think about it and say, does this make sense, or is the guy, you know, off the wall, or what? And I'll admit, at times I think I probably go off the wall on some things, but at least I'm not afraid to do that. I've never been afraid to over kill a subject. You know, I don't think you can, especially subjects like spirituality and morality and ethics and Mayan calendars and prophecies and so on. You can't overstep your bounds on those. You know, you just offer up your commentary. And so try very, very hard to bring forth the best that I've read, present the questions to you, and say, look, I've done the homework on this. I'm presenting this to you. What do you think? Here is the best of, okay? Here is the best of what I've read of these men, okay, or whoever I'm reading. But, and here again is the best of myself, you know, my understanding of it. So, over time, whether you talk to one person or 1,000 people, it still is the same me, it's the same person, it's the same energy flowing, okay, the same thought processes flowing. I may contradict myself in some statements, I may not, but again, I don't hold myself to any specific truth because that may change. What I know may change tomorrow or the next minute. That some new revelation comes up, and I say, wow, you know. So I have to keep my mind open, and I have to keep my heart open, and I have to keep my senses alert in order to pick up the data that I feel is important and relays important messages in news or commentary. Or, you know, I just go along with, you know, I can stop altogether and just not generate that action in that same form. And I think it would be a loss for me, a loss for Lala, and a loss for, you know, those who are associated with the show. But I also think it would be a loss for our listeners because our listeners are so diverse in age and demographic that we can, that, you know, they tune into us from all levels of life. And that, I'm very proud to say that because for some reason what we state appeals to a mass or a bigger audience. So with that concept in mind, I'm going to try to, I want to go to the Toltec path and read a few passages from that. Let's see where I can begin here. Oh, so many aspects to this. There's so many places. There's something that, that place where I left off today reading, but I'll share it with you and then I'll go back. Because a barrier, one of the great barriers to our existence, if you will, is old age. But before I go on, I just want to state these short definitions and give you a little bit of something to work with here. If I mention these ideas, this is from the Toltec path again. Perceptions, the alignment of energies. Human first. Okay, this is the Toltec ideology. Human first. Equalizes in the present above all religions and focus of being human. Right? So let's forget the spirituality aspect or the physical aspect of it. Let's concentrate upon your own humanness. Who you are as a human being. You need to eat. You need to drink. You need to feel, touch, sense. You need all of your senses. You need to love. You need to hate. You need to, you know, all of these things. All of these emotional things that we are here to try to make sense out of. But you must be human first before you can be spiritual or before you can be further than that. And in order to do that, you have to understand that you as the human being, are above all religions, by your focus of being human. Be aware of our energy bodies. Okay, we all have energy bodies. We just got to be aware of it. Our energy levels go high and low and so on. That's because we are an energy. We are a spirit. Uncover the unknown. Don't be afraid to venture off into an unknown area and discover it. Discover it. And allow all life to express itself to you. Yeah. Human First is a Toltec universal dream, making it possible to handle the immensity of infinite perception. Let me repeat that. Human First, that concept, is a Toltec universal dream, making it possible to handle the immensity of infinite perception. Now, to understand that, you have to go back to perception, right? Is the alignment of energies. So once you've aligned your mind and body with the energies coming, emanating from the universe, then you become like a sponge, basically. You're a sponge for information, a sponge for knowledge, and a sponge for emotion, you know, a sponge. You know, you just can't absorb enough, okay, of this pouring out. And it changes the immensity of infinite perception, because now you understand the infinite and you see just light. You see just beyond light, just forever and ever and ever, being better and more peaceful and more joyous and more wonderful as you develop into a perfect being. Okay? A reference from which to explore. Human First is a reference from which to explore, a tool. All right? Break away from the habitual thinking and define ourselves by our own experience. Okay, Sears, S-E-E-R, S, reject the Toltec bureaucracy. In other words, true seers who see the dimensions, who see beyond the our existence, who see beyond the third world, the third dimension. These people are seers, and they exist, and many, many, many are. But the key is to break away from the habitual thinking and divide ourselves by our own experience. Okay. Who we are is what we are, what we experience, what we learn from those experiences. Doesn't mean that it's good or bad or indifferent, it just means that that's who we are. The Toltec way is a philosophy, okay, dealing with the nature of reality. Let me repeat that. The Toltec way is a philosophy dealing with the nature of reality. It must be applied and lived, not just discussed. It is not sacred, but can help you see sacred. So in other words, consider this just a means of construction or a means of the pathway that you're forging for yourself. And you reached a level where you're tired of the area that you're at. You haven't progressed any further. So now you are at this level where you understand if you are to proceed from where you are, wherever your life is, but if you've reached a level of nirvana, then you've reached a perfect level of happiness. If you've reached a level of physical comfort, non-caring, wealth, and intellect, and so on and so forth. That's a wonderful thing. But what happens, just as God, Christ said, it's more difficult for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle, okay, than to enter the gates of heaven. And this is so true, because who would give up everything the world has to offer? The wealth and the splendor and this and that, to be encapsulated in a tomb, okay? Somewhere in obscurity, somewhere. Or I won't ever think of you again. What impetus is that? What emphasis is that? What does that provide us? Nothing. It provides us nothing. No adequate security, or no adequate income, or no adequate medical health care, or you know, any of that shit. So what happens is we eventually die. But even if you ate the best and drank the best and had the best doctors and on and on and on, right? You could still die young, right? Fate has a way of showing up at your door, regardless if you want it to or not. Regardless if it's uninvited. So, you know, you have to understand that these are the methods of achieving, understanding these aspects as how you achieve nirvana, how you achieve fourth-dimensional existence, okay? That above the third, the spiritual awakening, okay, that you're undergoing now, is that same awakening that's going to take you to the ascension process, okay? As doves fly through the gateway, through the portal, which is how it's explained. It must be applied and lived and not just discussed. You have to apply this method, this Toltec way, every day. Every day. It is not sacred, but can help you see sacred. So if you live your life in this blessed state of bliss, of meditation, of understanding, you will find everything. Everything is there. Young Buddha, 20 years, he stayed underneath a tree. Everyone thought he was dead, but he was purely alive and living in. Under God, and living in a fourth dimensional existence. Later, you know, he became a senator. So these are elements of people's private lives that we don't understand, and leaders and politicians and wealthy individuals and CEOs of companies and so on and so forth. They created these visions. And they're being rewarded for their efforts, but unfortunately, those valor-ridden men are no longer valor. They're just criminals, you know, been reduced to assassins and whatnot. You know, so it's pathetic what's happened to our country, and that's why we're having these discussions because. We have to explain that these things are happening. You know, happening with great regularity, and they're earth shattering, right? In their methods. So I'm gonna leave you with that. And we only got 45 minutes left. But that concept is pretty overwhelming. Oh, I think I have George here. You know, George, I got a call. Hey, George, you with us?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good. Glad you could join me. I'm starting to run out of steam here. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm listening to you, and you said quite a bit, Leo.
Am I making any sense, though?
Yeah, you do. I think in your intent. You know, but that's changed so many times in so many different ways in a short period of, even a week or a month. I mean, things change so damn quick.
Oh, they do,
sometimes
George.
I have to take a look to make sure that my intent meets up with my original intent, you know, when I started out.
Right, right. And this Toltec Path, which is a book that I got from you, by the way, Eagle Feather, was this has taught me quite a bit on the approach on the pathway to understanding that how to cross through. I think I mentioned this to you. They had to break through that portal to the next dimension. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And understanding our own multi-dimensional existence. And I think I've come to a if not a complete, definitely not complete, but a fuller appreciation, you know, for what that means and what we've discussed all these years on this show, you know.
Well, you know, this is not something that you could pick up in a book and know in a matter of hours or a matter of weeks. Experienced through.
Yeah, you have to live through it, and then you. And once you read it, once you see it from another perspective, from somebody else who's lived through it, and who's gone further, or who's actually experienced the unknown, you know, or this particular path, you gain insight from their journey, you know, and just like people are gaining insight from our journey, you know, and. You hope that people will be enlightened by it, and that things will that thought will generate thought, and possibly generate actions. You know, so that people change their perspective, look at a different way, and look at life and death in a different way, and understand that these are all part of our existence, and that existence. Is fractal. Our existence is in infinite proportions, you know. And
movements, yeah.
It's actions, things, and it's infinite. So what I'm doing here now, I could be doing something totally different in somewhere else, and somewhere else, and somewhere else, you know, in another dimension. But yet. At the end, what happens is when you find yourself, when you centered yourself, then all of these characters, all of these, then you understand and you identify each one of these characters within yourself. And it even goes back into, they even talk about past lives and go back into your karma, you know. So you see yourself generally being regenerated and regenerated and regenerated through these different passages of through the third dimensional existence, you know, and I don't know. I remember Sakya Trizin, an interview I did with him, and we recorded a teaching by him. He's the 41st patriarch of this Sakya tradition, and he said that wisdom and compassion were the two great aspects to the human existence. Okay, wisdom and compassion together will take us off the samsara wheel of life, the samsara of past, of reincarnation. You know, the constant going back and forth, and it's not until, he said, we learn wisdom and compassion and incorporate them together, that in our lives, that we are able to jump off the samsara wheel and enter into that next existence, you know, and into the higher self. And I tell you, it's like the closer I get to this 2012, you know, or October 28th or whatever the day is going to be, these things are becoming more and more and more intense in my thoughts, and I'm beginning to understand them in a much broader way, where they're starting to interconnect. And I'm hoping. That's why I continue to do these programs on Thursday nights, because these are nights where I can actually put out thoughts that I'm thinking, you know, and try to connect the dots and have a history of that thought connection through our archives, you know.
And, yeah, but you have, Leo. You know, and it just the number of years you've been talking about this, and with understanding the intent. From the Toltecs,
right.
You know, going back years ago, where I think that was back in the 90s that I had that book, and I was reviewing it, I think, with the understanding of what I was able to pick up from Carlos Castaneda's and his work with Don Juan.
Right.
And, you know, it was only through observation and years of putting things into practice, you know, that's the things that I learned from that book, that
well,
I was able to...
Yeah. What I liked about this book, this particular book by Eagle Feather, is that it's a third eye kind of look at, you know. He's looking at Castaneda and at Don Juan and at the entire Toltec path, because he himself has been on that path. You know, he went that way. But he's looking at it from his perspective of one who's tried this path and one who understands the path and one who has achieved a certain mastery in this field, you know.
Yeah.
And now he's looking at the teachings of Castaneda and Don Juan and saying, ah, this is what's happening. I don't agree with this totally, but this is what I see and what I think is happening. And basically, I found it to be very, I found it a lot easier to read than the original work, you know, only because there were areas that, I mean, Carlos Castaneda was more of a journalist, you know. He was a reporter. He was reporting these things and then filtering them through himself. Whereas this other guy is more of a theorist, you know. He's taking it from a different standpoint, though he's lived through it. He's more reflective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that aspect a little. It's easier to read because it's not so quite, it's so personal. It's more of a reflective and engrossing dialogue.
What do you think this has to do with you and the end times, Leo?
With what?
What does it have to do with you and the end times, 2012?
Well, what it has to do for me is it's leading me to a grander understanding, not only of myself, but what all of this stuff we've studied over the years means, you know, and how we can tie it together to accept, or not to accept, to tie it together to find a pathway through to the unknown, you know, and I think we're there. And a steady path where we keep creating a path into the unknown, you know. And we've touched on a lot of things over the years, George, on this show, and a lot of unknowns, you know.
The Mayans talked about this time now is that it's preparing us, or we're preparing ourselves, to go into co-creation full string.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know,
I see that. That's exactly what I see. We're studying this Toltec thing, that we're ready to spring into the unknown. Okay.
Yes, but first of all, we have to learn to harmonize together, which is what we're doing. We're
right.
starting
we're
to
learning.
Harmonize, and
right.
it's coming into play. And I
right.
think right now it's through this mindset that we've hummed up together that we're going to be experiencing the end results, which is, you know, a total co-creation of a new consciousness or a new understanding. And this is the newness that we will experience, and the death being the way we've been used to doing things. And we've come to a point where whatever we think, we can manifest, and that includes even our latest technology, but I think that it's the powers that we have. It's not only thinking that we can build something, that we build it, but it's thinking that we have something we could use, and it's the properties of our mind that we can put that all together. We can manifest that.
Right. No, I agree with you, and I totally agree with you on that, because I see it. I see it in my own life. I see it everywhere. That principle is already in effect. It always has been. We've just been hidden from us, you know, by our own enslavement, you know, our own.
When I talked with you yesterday, we talked about the time that we're going through and how fast time is speeding up.
Right.
Normally, we would experience things that would take 20 years. And then we went to a state where we are able to experience that 20 years of experience in 1 year, 360 days.
Oh, yeah. And
that's
George,
we're at a slot right now where we're learning.
Well, you know what's funny is in the last couple of weeks, actually, many things, not just a number of things that have been a problem to me, a technical or a philosophical problem to me, involving even my work, my computer, my artwork, my radio shows, a television program. These things are all calling together, coming together in under one grand vision now, where before they were separated, they were more separate. And more instantaneous, the more...
And what was that, Leo?
Well, the theme of my programming, you know, over the years. But now it's changed. It's changing dramatically to the fundamental aspect of our existence, which is, you know, seeking truth, seeking understanding, and filtering the important elements, what's separating the wheat from the chaff, you know, and that's what's happened. It's suddenly the chaff is leaving me, you know, it's blowing away. And I'm seeing the fine essence, the wheat, if you will, of the message, and it's getting there, and that's why it excites me. That's why I wanted to talk about it tonight on the show. And George, I only got 15 seconds before the feed goes, but I just want to say, people, thank you for listening, and join us tomorrow with George Dixon when we continue this discussion, and.
I'd like to continue this, but I think this is the whole theme of what we're experiencing right now. Everything is speeding up to a point where,
right.
You know, we're going to be experiencing things in 20 days that normally took us a year, 20 years, you know. And it's startling just to think about it, but...
I know. I can't wait to see what we're going to be coming up with, George. It's just unbelievable, you know. I see my own processes, my own brain working overtime, so I can only imagine, and seeing discoveries and understanding things in the last few months that you know, it took me years to comprehend. Now we're seeing them manifest in apocalyptic overtones, you know.
What's happening over there in Japan? It's terrible, it really is. But I really feel that we as humans are going to come get over this this crisis that we're in right now.
Oh, I hope so. And become higher. But it may also cause the death of everybody and put us out of our...
There's a lot of death and regeneration, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's all coming to a head. And it's something that needs to be done, and it's just part of this cleansing we're going through. And that is also including our spiritual belief systems, that they are being brought to the surface. And to be truthful, you know, all things must come to a head, and that's what's happening right now. And it's funny to see how things play out in the next year or so, because... that's when the final battles that they talk about will be taking place.
Right.
So, I look at this optimistically. I really do. Because I really believe that we've made it through the hardest.
All right. think that's true, George. Because I still think we got some rough stuff to get through, but, you know.
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But anyway,
yeah,
George, I want to thank you so much for
that.
Yeah, thank you for calling. And, for all those people, please join George and I and Lila tomorrow night at 8 o'clock when we further this discussion into the portal to the fourth dimension. How's that, George?
Sounds great.
That sounded good. Huh? I thought that sounded good. So
I look forward to speaking with you then.
All right, buddy. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Please join us right here. April 1st, okay? Talk to you later, George.
Adios.
Take care. Good night. Yeah, we're going to leave you now with a little tune. Same one we got when we started up there.